This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Welcome to our ninth episode. I can't believe it. We're getting a little traction here in the Unhurried podcast. And today I'm going to do something a little different, though, than we normally do. Typically, I am looking at something we've talked about on the previous Sunday and diving deeper into that. But today I want to do a little one-off, a little different than what we normally do. I'll occasionally kind of pepper that into our podcast along the way. And this today I want to share a principle with you that has been super helpful in the spiritual life. It's something that I've recently got a good degree of clarity on, and I've never shared it with the church, but I believe it is actually crucial in the spiritual life. If you apply the with God life into your own life, I believe you're going to avoid a lot of traps that so easy to fall into in our spiritual way of thinking. It can really be liberating, and I've been thrilled to be able to coach people in this and talk to people about this, and now to talk to you about it as well. Well, let me begin this way. How would you answer these questions? Would you say yes or no to the following questions? God's goal is to bless me. Yes? No. How about this? Serving God is the highest calling. Would you say yes or no? There's another question. If you have enough faith, you will never be stressed. Yes, no on that one? Things almost always go wrong when people don't follow His principles. Yes, no. God wants me to be successful. Would you say yes or no? Finally, how about this one? God is closer to you in a VW bus. Okay, everybody should be saying yes on that one. I drive a vintage Volkswagen bus, 1973 bus, and so I'm a little biased on that one. I recently asked a group of people if that was true. Has God closer to you when you're in a VW bus? And they said, yes, of course He is, because it forces you to pray more. Well, that's absolutely true. So anyway, I wanted to give you those questions because they kind of tease us into the topic that I want to talk about today, the with God life. In this podcast, I want to share with you five different approaches to our journey with God, our relationship with God, the way that we travel with Him, we walk with Him. And in order to do so, let me just begin by introducing you to five hypothetical people. These aren't real people, but there are people in my life that are just like them. And first of all, let's call the first guy Jake. Jake has made a lot of money selling online marketing tools to financial planners. And he has become very wealthy. He is single. His second marriage is crumbled, and his life is now filled with all kinds of pursuits. He loves high-end wine, goes to a lot of LA concerts. He has a home in Laguna Beach, California, as well as a condo in Hawaii. He is learning French as a second language. That's Jake. Next, there's Ted. Ted flips homes. He buys them as fixer-uppers and then sells them for a lot more after he's made the improvements on those houses. He goes to church because he wants God to bless his business. The way he puts it is he wants to stay on God's good side. Next, let me tell you about Rachel. Rachel is a single mom, and she's kind of distraught because she's doing her best to raise her son. The way she puts it is she's raising him by the book, according to the Bible, bringing him to church and really teaching him scripture. But God doesn't seem to be upholding His end of the deal. In her mind, if she does her part, God's going to do His. And she's left feeling like maybe she's doing something wrong. Otherwise, she'd be having more success with her son's behavior. Next, let me tell you about Brittany. Brittany is graduating from a top university as a pre-med student. She is committed to serving God. She loves her hometown and her family, but she has heard in several sermons that God wants her to serve him sacrificially. And so she wonders, maybe she should go into medical missions and serve God overseas. And she's quite conflicted over it. Finally, there's Eric. Eric is one of those joyful people in life that you love to meet. He seems truly present when he's with you. And in terms of our podcast, we would call him unhurried. He has the normal set of challenges that everybody faces, but he has a way of seeing God involved in every one of them. And he always seems to have a perspective that lifts your spirit and helps you see things a little clearer when you're around him. So those are our five individuals, hypothetical people based on real people I know in my life, and they represent five different approaches to the spiritual life. Five very common paths that people can take. And I should put it this way, four of them are actually detours, and one is the true and accurate path to following God. So let's look at each one now a little bit more closely. One of them I'm going to call the for me life. The next is the above God life. The third is the under God life. The fourth is the for God life. And finally, the goal of our journey here today, our talk, the with God life. So the first one is the for me life. And if we were sitting down together, I would draw this for you on a napkin or a whiteboard. But you can almost imagine the drawing. Each one of these drawings, I'm going to have a triangle that represents God and then a stick figure somewhere in there that represents you and me. And this first one is the for me life. And the drawing would simply look like this. You would have a triangle on the page with the word God in it. And then right next to it, you would have the stick figure. And I would cross out the triangle and I would circle the stick figure. Because in the for me life, it's really all about me. This is the life that's just focused on me. And God is irrelevant in this life. He's really not a part of this life at all. And before you go, well, yeah, skip ahead to the next one. That's certainly not me. You know, a lot of times we can find whole chunks of our days spent in the for me life where we're simply living for ourselves. I can find myself doing this just as easily as probably you can. And we just are focused on ourselves, and it's as if God isn't there at all. And yet, this is kind of the life that Jake had, the first guy that I mentioned, who has lived his life just pursuing all the things that are important to him. But Jesus said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? And while it's easy for us to go there, we realize that this is a dead end. This is a detour on the path to God. When we seek to serve ourselves only without God in the picture, it becomes a dead end. Now, I know it's easy to say, that's not me. I'm not going to live the for me life. God is a big part of my life. But even as I say that, I realize that this is sort of the default in our lives. We naturally end up going this way if we're not intentional. It's easy, so easy for you and me to just simply focus on ourselves, make us the center of my universe, and God gets left out on the edges. He gets left out of the picture entirely. So we need to be aware that this is a very natural and normal way that many people, including ourselves, can end up steering our life, the for me life. Well, if we're going to avoid the for me life, the next one to consider is the above God life. And the drawing here, if you and I were sitting down together, I would draw that triangle representing God, and I would have the stick figure standing next to it with their foot on top of the triangle. It's the above God life. The symptoms of this life is it's still really focused on ourselves, but God is in their lives. God is at least in their conversation, and this individual wants God's blessing. The focus is on just God in your life for the benefits that he brings. You want God to be on your side because you see God as sort of a good luck charm. He brings blessings. He brings benefits. He brings the good things of life. The example that I gave earlier was the guy named Ted who flips homes. He goes to church because he wants God to bless his business. He wants to stay on God's good side, is the way he put it. And this is really easy to fall into this way of seeing God in our lives. God is sort of just some like a stepladder who props us up, who lifts us up, and who puts us in a higher place because God is there. I found early in my spiritual life that this was the way a lot of people around me seemed to think about God. God was just there to make my life better. You know, we see God in this mindset. It's just someone who gives us good gifts. He's there to bless us. Not that different from Santa Claus. He's just there to bring good things into our lives. Jesus taught that God was the giver of good gifts, but he was so much more than that. He, in fact, one day told a story, and he compared God in heaven to fathers on earth. And he says, if you as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that surprises me because I expect Jesus to finish that sentence saying, how much more will God give you good gifts? But he says, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit? In other words, how much more will he give you himself? God's goal is not to just give us gifts. His goal is to give us himself. And so the principles here that hold in check the above God mindset, living life above God, is that when God gives us gifts, he also gives us himself. The giver comes with the gift. And sometimes, you know, the giver comes without the gift. Sometimes he gives us himself instead of the gift. The giver is more important than the gift. And we need to see that when we realize that God is way more than the blessings he brings into our lives, then we will avoid the above God mindset, the above God life. Well, let's continue on to the third approach. The third approach I'm calling the under God life. And I hear that and I go, well, that sounds pretty good, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the under God life? The drawing here would have the triangle representing God near the top of the napkin or near the top of the page. And I would turn that triangle into the top of an umbrella. I would have an umbrella handle drawn coming out of the triangle, and the stick figure would be underneath the umbrella, holding onto the umbrella over the stick figure's head. And in this way of thinking about life, the under God life, you see God as sort of this protective banner over your life. And your relationship with God is this ironclad contract where God is there to keep your life free from any real problems. This umbrella oversees you, covers you, and your relationship with God is sort of contractual. Lord, I'll stay under your umbrella, and you protect me from everything. Other people have real problems, but I'm going to avoid them because I have God in my life. And Rachel was an example of this, who was raising her son by the book. She thought as long as she did everything under God's supervision, then he would protect her from any problems. And then she was really struggling because, you know, she was experiencing these problems and thought that God was supposed to keep her immune from them. I heard about this football player, a true story, who kind of had an under God view of his life. As long as he lived for God, God was going to protect him and keep him free from any problem, help him always win and never lose. And they lost a big game when he dropped a pass in the end zone in overtime. And he wrote on Twitter, he said this, he says, I praise you 24/7. And this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I will never forget this ever. And there publicly on social media, he blamed God for not fulfilling his end of the bargain. The theology behind this in the under God life is that God somehow is now committed to fulfill his end of the bargain. As long as we stay under his protection, we will never have any problems. But we know the reality. The reality is that believers do face real problems, genuine problems. Now, what I want to say here at this point is I want to be careful, because it's not that God doesn't protect us. He certainly does, and he certainly is a God who fulfills his promises. But some of those promises aren't ultimately fulfilled in this life. God is fair and just, and he keeps his promises to his people. It's one of the most attractive things about God. It's one of the things that we cherish, we count on. It just doesn't always happen in this life. And so we need to see his promises as for this life and the next, and not just in the immediate, not just in the present. It doesn't mean he's going to keep us from facing real trials along the way. But in the under God life, life under his umbrella, we sort of feel like that's the way it's supposed to work. So we need to be careful of that approach as well. Yet the under God life, seeing God as the umbrella over our lives and our path, is very appealing to us. There are a lot of us that just want and wish that God were this way. We live our lives as if we just simply stay under his umbrella, then we will be protected from any harm or any tragedy. And yet Jesus challenged this. One day his disciples ran across a man who was born blind, and they asked Jesus the question, why did he experience this? Was it his sin? In other words, did he step outside the boundaries of the umbrella, and therefore God is punishing him with this medical infirmity? And Jesus' answer surprised everyone. He said, neither. It was neither because of his sin or even the sins of his parents or someone else. But this happened, according to Jesus, for the glory of God. And that kind of, blew their categories, because they weren't thinking that way, that a problem or a tragedy could actually be a part of the life of faith. Because it's appealing for us to think, if we just simply do our part, that God will protect us from any kind of disability, ailment, or problem, or catastrophe. And yet, if you think about it, that's not really faith. That is really a way of controlling God. We simply say, God, I'm going to do my part of the contract, and then I'm trusting you to do yours. But when we live this way, we get blindsided when real problems come along. They wreck us. Why? Because we thought it couldn't happen. We have a contractual relationship with God. God, if I stay under your umbrella, you're going to protect me. And we treat God more like a cable company than like the God of the universe, who can do things in ways that we don't always understand. So again, we want to avoid the under God life. Well, let's get to the fourth approach. The fourth approach is what I'm calling the for God life. And right away, I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with that, the for God life? I mean, if the first example was the for me life and that was the wrong approach, then isn't the for God life the right approach? What's wrong with that? The drawing I would have for this is the triangle would be near the top of the page and the stick figure underneath, lifting the triangle up, sort of like a weightlifter lifting up a barbell. And of all the approaches, this is the one that I'm probably most susceptible to. In fact, I feel like a lot of believers are susceptible to this one. The symptoms of this are that we can be hyper-responsible, duty-driven. It's all about what we do for God. It's all about our effort and our actions and our behavior and our work. And it sounds really spiritual and sacrificial. And yet, is that really the relationship that Jesus desires for us? You know, this can be my struggle. As I said, I can fall into this. In fact, I find three categories of individuals that are especially prone to falling into this. First of all, leaders, they're prone to this. Then there are parents, they can easily fall into this. And the third category is people. So if you're a leader, a parent, or a person, then you're probably prone to fall into this as well. The example that I used early on with the hypotheticals was Brittany, the pre-med student who was wondering whether God wanted her to sacrificially serve him on the mission field. She wanted to stay home in her hometown, but she felt like maybe that was the right thing to do. Well, what do we see in Scripture? I've been really riveted by the story of the older prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son story has two sons in it, not just one. We all know the story of the younger one, but the older one is a prodigal too. And listen to this. In Luke 15:29, he says something to his father that is quite revealing. It reveals his issues. He says this, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends." And at first I'm struck by the word slaving. All these years I've been slaving. But even more than that, it's the two words that follow it. All these words I've been slaving for you. And that really captures the problem in his thinking, that his relationship with his father, and the parallel is our relationship with God, is all about doing it for you. As if, you know, it's slaving, it's duty, it's just, you know, just harsh labor. And the father's answer to his older son is so refreshing. He says this, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad." And those words are so striking to me. You are always with me. And that anticipates where we're going with this podcast. God's preferred relationship was not a for him relationship, but a with him relationship. And that's an important, a critical distinction. While it might sound really good to live a for God approach or for God life, the result is that it often leads to burnout and bitterness, a critical spirit, judgmental of others who aren't doing everything that you're doing. And that is the point of Jesus' parable of the older prodigal son. So we need to avoid the for God life as well. Well, where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us and leads us to the with God life, the one that I've been captivated by and I want to commend to you. The symptoms of the with God life are joy and trust, an openness to God, his surprises, a deep sense of his presence in our life, trust that goes deeper than just words, but actually we put our weight into our faith. And the drawing that I would draw for this, if you were sitting now next to me, I would draw the triangle again. That was God. I would make it all consuming, kind of filling up the page, and then I would put the stick figure in the middle of it. You and me inside the triangle, inside God, the with God life, where we experience his joy and the adventure that he wants to have for us. The example from my earlier hypotheticals was the fifth guy. The fifth example was the guy named Eric. He was joyful and you know, as we say with this podcast, unhurried. He saw God involved in all of his life, the good things as well as the bad things. And if you remember what the father said to the older son in the story of the prodigal son, "You are always with me." And that's God's goal for us, is that we would be with him. That's why God created us in the very beginning. He wanted to walk with Adam and Eve. He wants to walk with us in our everyday life. If you look at the end of Revelation, that's God's goal for us for all eternity, that we would be with him and he would be with us. And our journey along the way, the approach that we should take is the with God life, where we just include him in our lives. And that leads to a deeper and greater joy. If you think about Jesus' final words before he ascended in Matthew 28, he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so God calls us to experience this life with him, not under him or over him or for ourselves, but a life that we live with him, in the center of his life, in the center of his heart, in the center of his plan, and in the center of his purpose. Well, I hope this has been a helpful way for you to think about it, this idea that we were created to live with God and have him with us and to experience his presence in whatever we go through, that he is there, he is the middle of our lives, and he is available to us wherever we are, whether hardships come or whether good times come, whether we're facing trials or whether we face great blessings. God is there in the middle of it, and it's this adventure of faith that we walk with him. And perhaps this has even served as sort of a corrective, because you, perhaps like me, find yourself, you know, easily falling into these other approaches that are dead ends in the spiritual journey. And instead, be brought back, be pulled back into the relationship and the experience, the encounter that Jesus wants us to have, where we walk with him and him with us. Well, today has been sort of a one-off from our normal deeper dives into the message that I give on Sunday morning. Next week, we continue with a look into a deeper dive as we begin our Easter series, Lift Him Up. We'll be looking at how Jesus was lifted up on the cross and how we should respond in praise and adoration of him. So I hope you can join us in next week's podcast as well. Hey, by the way, if you want any of these illustrations that I referred to, I put them together on a single page, and I will email it to you if you simply ask. Just email me at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com, and I will be happy to send you these sketches. I'm not promising they're any good, but you can get an idea of what I've talked about, and you can even use it with others if you want to jot it down on a napkin with them as well. Thanks again for joining us. This has been Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.